How good it is to know what it is you believe so that you can live what it is you believe. So we are reminded of what it is we believe when we share our faith together. And this affirmation of faith from Colossians chapter 1. God fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and grow in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God's word for today is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Jesus is speaking and tells one of his parables. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." May the Lord add his blessing to his reading of this holy word. Do you know this song? Oh, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need. The sun and the rain and the apple seed, the Lord's been good to me. Perhaps it's because I'm a farmer's son that I sing it this way. For giving me the things I need, the rain and the sun and the apple seed, the Lord's been good to me. Rain first, because unless there's dampness on that seed isn't going anywhere. Am I right? The New Testament talks about growth. Jesus talked about growth. Often Jesus talked about the growth of the kingdom of God. We'll talk in more detail about that in a moment, but Americans usually think of growth in one direction: size. Growing means bigness. What do we tell children who are growing? We say, "My, you are getting big." And I suppose for most vegetable gardens, that is what the plants must do first: get big enough to bear fruit. But those are vegetables. You and I are human beings with souls. We are to grow in Jesus Christ. The word the apostle uses is grow up. But I doubt that the apostle considered our souls getting taller or bigger. But I'm sure that the apostle thought about us bearing fruit. Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Jesus Christ." The English Standard Version says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." What do you think? Grow up. 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." When we think of fruit trees, especially mature fruit trees, the trees themselves do not need to get bigger, do they? We often expect the fruit to get bigger. American consumers want large apples, not little ones. American consumers want large tomatoes, depending on the variety. American consumers want large everything. Although I told you several weeks ago that my wife and I prefer the state of Maine wild blueberries, which are much smaller. And yes, they now grow those same blueberries commercially in other states, but the state of Maine is where my wife and I picked them for free along the power lines crossing the highways. I mentioned asparagus last week. Yes, American consumers want thick asparagus spears. But I mention asparagus because early in the season, you cannot see asparagus growing. In Europe, they grow some varieties of asparagus entirely underground so that they may offer the consumers white asparagus. So, bigger is not what the New Testament is talking about when we are to grow. What did our Lord say about growth and the kingdom of God? Jesus tells four different parables about growth, especially growing seed. And twice Jesus mentions seed being in the ground, which you know means you can't see the seed. In addition to the seed and sowing stories, we may also add the stories on leaven, which Jesus says is hidden and also grows. Also, fishing with nets. You cannot see the fish beneath the surface of the water. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God in all of these. This kingdom of God in which all of you have citizenship. A kingdom that you and I cannot see, and yet we are in it now. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven. The apostle doesn't say that our citizenship will be in heaven. The apostle says our citizenship is in heaven right now. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle wrote. Another translation says it this way, but we are citizens of the state which is in heaven. We are citizens of the commonwealth which is in heaven. We are citizens of the homeland which is in heaven. The Apostle Paul calls us all ambassadors. If we are ambassadors on earth, that usually suggests the earth is not our homeland, for we are ambassadors to earth from heaven. This is all to say that we can look around with our eyes and not see our homeland. However, we might see evidence of that same homeland, but we will still not really see homeland with our eyes. Perhaps we could claim that God's Word, the Bible, is not of this world, although it is in our language and written so that it may be read with our eyes. But our Lord Jesus' focus is really on the idea that although the kingdom grows, we may not see it, and gives several examples from life of things growing that we do not see. Therefore, today's Jesus story and our Bible verse of the week, Jesus said night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. It might interest you to know that there are three basic ways to understand what Jesus is saying, but since there will be no quiz on those, I'm going to skip right to the part that tells you the best understanding. Notice that Jesus stated that the farmer or the gardener did not go to one of our agricultural schools. He probably went to State University, because Jesus said, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. At an agricultural school, you would learn those things about seed sprouting and growing. But Jesus makes the point, the earth yields crops by itself. And notice, even if the gardener is an ignorant university graduate, the gardener is not worried. The harvest will come in the future. In a different parable, Jesus mentions soil types and thieving birds. In that story, Jesus might have had an agricultural graduate in mind because the farmer's not worried about the harvest. That's just the way farming is. Seeds get lost. Birds eat them. But the fruitful ground can yield even more fruit, and that yield would make up for the useless ground and the rocky soil. One idea common to all these growth stories is not where the farmer went to college. What all Jesus stories notice is the difference between the beginning and the end. In the beginning, you can't even see the seed in the ground, but at the harvest, there is plenty, a bounty. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God anyway, not next year's crop. Jesus is expressing a confidence in God, the Heavenly Father. The kingdom is growing, and the kingdom will yield fruit. There will be a harvest. And what does Jesus say? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It isn't that there isn't a harvest. The problem is there's a harvest and not enough workers. In Luke's version, we just heard Matthew's version in chapter 9 of Matthew. This is Luke's in chapter 10 of Luke. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Friends, if you look around today here at church, it does indeed seem that the laborers are few. But Jesus says that the harvest is truly great. So pray for more laborers. Now, as you know, we live in an area with four seasons, and I'm sure you can name them: almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction. So four seasons, so farmers and gardeners plant seed at least once every year, and they harvest at least once every year. So there isn't just one harvest, there's at least one harvest every year. So it is with the kingdom. There is a continual harvest. A continual harvest until the end. For Jesus said, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. There's a confidence in our Lord for the harvest. And you remember Jesus said that abiding in him is what brings fruit? Do not remain in Jesus, you cannot be fruitful. But if you remain in Jesus, I recall Jesus' words, you will bear much fruit. And now that I've hammered Jesus' teaching, can you spiritually look around in a new year to see fruit? Is not a new daycare director fruit from the ministry of the daycare center, which has been in operation for over 40 years and is still going? Do we not still have people downloading and listening to the sermons? The answer is yes to that, but no one can see it. How can we ever possibly see the harvest of God's word on the internet? As I keep reminding you, if there is no church, there is no website for people to find the sermons. If there's no church, there are no sermons. There's fruit if we will abide in Jesus Christ. And have we not helped people in need, the hungry, the financially broke, threatened with homelessness or cold? Have we not reached this community with the annual Vacation Bible School? Have we not distributed coats and hats and mittens and scarves? I saw this just Thursday as I was leaving town to go to the hospital. I saw a teenager, a young teenager, walking home from school. You may remember the temperature that day. Air temperature was 16 degrees. He had no coat. He didn't even have a jacket. There were only two conclusions I could come to. I didn't like either one of them. The first was he has no coat. The second conclusion I came to is maybe he had a coat and he didn't wear it, so he's not too bright. I didn't like that conclusion either. But I thought I could go to the coats we have from the rummage sale and get one and take it to his house and give it to him, and at least I would know he has a coat. If he chooses not to wear it, then it is his problem. Have we not distributed coats and hats and mittens and scarves from our mitten tree? Have we not given money for people in need far away from us? How might we ever see any harvest in a distant state or distant lands? None of us is going to Slovenia, except where our missionary we support is serving. So will you have the confidence in God that is portrayed in Jesus' stories? Jesus himself called to a mission to Israel, and he left this world with only a handful of disciples. And even the Apostle Paul struggled and wrote about that struggle concerning his own people, the Jews, saying in his letter to the churches in the area of the city of Rome, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For in the face of apparent widespread rejection of the gospel, the Apostle Paul remained confident in our Lord and the Heavenly Father that there would be a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God." What do you see in 2019 and beyond? Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Other translations say, "Have faith in God, have faith also in me." Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.